The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Hope you are going to be safe over this holiday. Those of you that are traveling, extra patience. I don't want to be preachy right off the top. We have a great show today. Really do. Because there's stuff happening this weekend, throughout the weekend, that I think is really interesting. Bob Ryan is going to be with us from Boston. Long time Hall of Fame columnist with the Boston Globe. You want opinions on Boston sports? He's a Hall of Famer. And Bob Ryan is going to zoom on in with us here in about 10 minutes on Cam Newton, the Patriots, and Cardinals. The Cardinals are a 2.5-point road favorite, of all things. How's N'Keal Harry playing? I'm sure Bob Ryan has some thoughts on that. The former Sun Devil has not done much. That's just a fact. Bob Ryan will be with us at 10:20. At 10:35, Gary McCord. So Gary, for 30 years, was on CBS golf coverage. Last year, they parted ways, and CBS, which owns TNT, picked up the phone and called Gary and said, hey, so we're putting on this event Thanksgiving weekend on a Friday of Charles Barkley, Peyton Manning, Steph Curry, Phil Mickelson, playing at Phil's new course, Stone Canyon in Tucson. We're going to put on TNT. And Gary, we want you, well, I don't know exactly what they want Gary to do, but I'm imagining he's going to be the course reporter with Charles. 18 holes of Charles Barkley playing golf on Friday, this Friday. You guys, you know how bad it is. It's just dreadful. And he's paired with Mickelson. And Steph Curry is paired with Peyton Manning. I'm going to watch. I mean, that's why there's such a thing as a DVR, but I'm going to watch. So Gary McCord from Scottsdale, he will be with us. He will be part of the broadcast, the on-course reporter. And then we have Michael Fabiano, Fabs, who just got engaged. Good for him. Great job. And Sandy Charles. Sandy Charles and Michael Fabiano, all things fantasy football, that comes up. At 10:50. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. They take care of our business at sports360az.com. I've got to swing by there today. That's Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business and your families. Go to Desert Financial Credit Union around the valley and eventually, before you know it, around the state. Appreciate their support. All right, so I guess I'm already looking to the weekend. Like Kelly Oubre taking shots at Robert Sarver. Ooh, come on. It's child's play. I know that we're in this world where if somebody says something on a radio station and it's going to show up as a headline, Oubre takes shots at Suns. Everybody's taking shots at Suns. Everybody's taking shots at Robert Sarver. Former players are taking shots at Robert Sarver. You know, it's like, yeah, okay. Another guy is saying, and I'm not here to defend Robert, far be it. Like, I know there's people in our industry, unfortunately, that just want to focus on how great the Suns can be, but they never want to factor in the owner, or they're afraid they're going to get frozen out of interviews or treated poorly by an organization. It's like, that's part of our gig. Right? I mean, if you want to be a cheerleader, go apply. It's fine. If you want to go, you know, make sure that you feel comfortable pulling into the parking lot, that's not why we sign up for this. It's not. Then you should get out if you're not comfortable. When it's time to bring the sledgehammer, bring the sledgehammer. But like Kelly Oubre, who cares about Kelly Oubre? He's gone. And what he said about Robert Sarver, everybody's been saying about Robert Sarver. So this isn't breaking news. But today, if I'm to go on social, oh my gosh. Whatever. Suns have put together a good team. I have not heard from the owner. I thought it was pretty chicken bleep last week when they unveiled their new facility and referred to the practice court at the Suns Arena as a basement. Like, come on, guys. You're better than that. You're all better than that. So, and on the court, we'll see. I think they're a lot better. I think they're a playoff team. If they stay healthy and Casey Jacobson on last week, and if you missed it, it's over in the on-demand section on Sports 360 AZ. And he was pretty straightforward about how Chris Paul's not the greatest teammate in the world. And Casey's lead analyst at Fox, and he's just was like, hey, hello, I'm over here. I'm just telling you. So we'll see. You know, we'll see how that works out. For the Cardinals, I'm more interested in where they're heading this weekend because, look, New England's 4-6. We'll talk to Bob Ryan here in a couple of minutes from Boston. The Cardinals are 6-4. The Rams won on Monday night. The Rams are sitting there in first place in the division. The Rams are coming on strong. I think San Francisco is going to come around in the second half of the season. And if you go and look at the Cardinals and just analyze each one of their wins and losses, take the Dallas game out, and you look at their wins and you look at their losses and how close, how narrow. If Buffalo bats down a ball, that, I mean, it's just the way it is in sports. I get it. But are we really looking at a team that is in the upper echelon of the NFC West? Are we looking at a team that is still looking up, saying we're just not quite there yet? New England should be out of it. Cam Newton said earlier in the week, no, we're not. What else is he going to say? You know, he's trying to hang on. And then you look at New England and say that's a game that they should win. I know this, that the Rams still have the Jets on their schedule, and the Jets stink. They are still home to New England. Let's see. They play at Seattle. They're home to the 49ers. So the Cardinals and no matter what happens in New England, the Cardinals really have a playoff game a week from Sunday because they're home to the Rams for the first time. Have not seen the Rams yet. And they've got to win that game. They just have to. As bad as the NFC East is, doesn't matter. You still have to win. So, you know, that is coming down the pike. And I think the Rams, the way they looked on Monday night, that's a team that's going to be really, really hard to contend with for the Cardinals. They're just not there yet. On the college end, I'm fatigued. I'm just worn out on the ASU football thing. We've seen 2 weeks in a row where it hasn't worked out. Now we're into our third week. There are reports that ASU is teetering on whether they're going to play or not against Utah on Sunday. So if they go 3 weeks and they end up playing the UCLA in the Territorial Cup and that's it, call it a season and that's their bowl game, that's really what it's going to turn into. I saw that narrative being pushed out up at Washington State, that the Washington State game, they could just move it and turn the Apple Cup into their bowl game this year. And I just find fans who are in the circles of Arizona State football and Arizona State athletics far more interested in what is going on with the basketball team now. Like, they're just, you can't plan ahead. It's a holiday weekend. It's an NFL Sunday. Do you see what the Masters did against the NFL head-to-head? It wasn't even close. Very few people were watching golf. Very, very few people are going to be watching Arizona State football on a Sunday morning against Utah if, in fact, they play this game. And most fans have already made their plans for a holiday weekend. So with all this disruption that is going on, yeah, you're going to get the diehards. You're going to get the dudes that go to chat boards, and that's all they do is sit in chat rooms. Those guys are easy. You need to get the masses, okay? It's not the people that show up and watch Herm's show. There's 20, 30 of them that are big-time diehard Sun Devils. You need the thousands and thousands that are traveling this weekend. Not being negative, it's just fact. Just fact. You know, the Pac-12 should have made a bubble. When I hear, oh, well, you just don't realize how expensive it is, narrow-minded thinking. This is just the way we've always done things. No, we've never been in a pandemic before. If you bubble here in Phoenix and you have a stadium out in Glendale, yeah, you got to work through the Cardinals and ASU's relationship, which is never easy. And you have Chase Field, which has been used for football games. And you have Sun Devil Stadium, three fields. You play on a Saturday, you play on a Sunday. Oh, the fields are going to get beat up. The Cardinals have an extra tray. They may be out of town. I don't know. All I know is here in our valley, we could have done this. We could have done a bubble. We do not have the legislation, regulation that has been going on in California. And that's been a big problem for Cal and Stanford. So you have everybody down here where it's wide open. Whether I like that it's wide open or not, it's wide open. And we're already seeing that. What is it? New Mexico State. They're in the same conference as GCU. They are out here. They're staying in Phoenix at one of the resorts. They're playing basketball games here because they can't get on the court in New Mexico. So we're already seeing colleges say, hey, let's go to Arizona. It'll be much easier for us to get on. But, you know, for ASU basketball, you know, what will this week and weekend look like for them? And we just simply don't know. College basketball games are being canceled right and left, and switches are going on. And people, unfortunately, there's not too many impulsers. Like, I can flip on a dime if I need to. That's just me. A lot of people have to look out 2 weeks ahead of time, 3 weeks ahead of time, and all that stuff. Where are we going to park? And where should we have food? And it's fine. That's just how they're wired. That's how they're wired. So when you sit here and flip games, oh, I thought we were going to the game this week. No. You got to be able to flip and navigate. And that's just not been happening. All right. What is going on with the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick? What is going on with Cam Newton? How is N'Keal Harry, a first-round pick, playing so far for the Patriots? He had two offside penalties last week. It's not been going well for him. I'm just merely presenting facts. Bob Ryan, next, from Boston. Long, long-time columnist, Hall of Famer. That's on the other side. And then Gary McCord and Michael Fabiano with Sandy Charles. Stay with us. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had Mitch Albom on the air, and I like catching up with the sports reporters. Bob Ryan joins us now from Boston, of course. Bob with the Boston Globe for many, many years, still does the sports reporters with Mitch and Mike Lupica, and is on ESPN a lot. I wanted to get an inside look at what's going on with the Patriots. The Cardinals playing at New England this coming Sunday, and they're actually a road favorite of all things. Mm-hmm. I was very surprised to see that. So here is Bob Ryan. How are you?
I'm fine. Pleased to say I'm fine. A little bit bored at times, but that's compared to most people, a lot of people, that's okay.
What is going on with the Patriots from your view? 4-6, are you surprised by all this?
No, I wouldn't have been surprised at preseason at 5-11. I wouldn't have been surprised at 11-5, partly because the competition, let's face it, we're not in a great year for great teams. Mm-hmm. There's uncertainty. The NFC is crazy. No one, you could throw a dart in a board. You don't know who's going to win the NFC. We have two excellent teams in the AFC. But beyond that, there's a lot of teams that are okay. And they had a chance to be one of those okay teams. We weren't sure how Cam Newton was going to materialize. We weren't sure how the defense would be rebuilt with all the losses that they had due to A, defections, and B, COVID, opting out. Patrick Chung opted out. He was important. They lost Hightower, opted out. He was their best defensive player. We weren't sure how all this was going to materialize. Okay. So it doesn't surprise me that everything hasn't exactly fallen into place for them. When they lose, there's different reasons at times, you know, but they have had three losses at least in which, had they been able to mount that one great last drive, you know, they would have won. They could have flipped this thing around, but they didn't. And, so they've been knocking on the door, but ultimately, I think we're all resigned to the fact that it's over. They're not winning the division. Buffalo probably will. Miami could. They're not going to the playoffs. This is the beginning of the rest of our lives after 20 years of the Belichick era.
And Cam is taking the hard stance of it's not over. Does he just need a dose of reality? Is he going to say? What else is he going to say?
And right? Matthew Slater, who's the voice of usually a voice of complete reason on this team, the longest tenured player with the most rings that's left on the team, the great special teams player, a Hall of Fame candidate, in my opinion, based on that, wow, the way he played, son of the great Jackie Slater, blah, 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 you know all that. Okay, he's mouthing that optimistic party line too. Like, what do you expect them to say? That we're done? No, they're not going to say that. They're going to keep scrapping. They want to enjoy their Sundays as much as they can and hope that on Sunday night they're celebrating a W rather than another L. And I understand that. But you dismiss it as it's not reality. They're not going anywhere.
Bob, when you look at Cam, what is it that he has brought? Is this a one-year deal and he's gone and they go to the draft?
That's – well, they're not. If they were had a shot at one of the premier draft picks, you know, now obviously they're not going to go get a Lawrence, they're not going to get a Fields, or even a Trask, or Mac Jones, whoever. If they all come out, you know, I don't know. No, Cam has shown flashes where you'd say, yeah, we'd like to sign him for a couple more years, you know, and live with Cam. He's not the problem, quote unquote. In fact, there's a lot of agitation now on part of some members of the media that Josh McDaniels is thwarting Newton with two conservative game plans, that he's not letting Cam be Cam enough. That's one school of thought. I'm not enough of a football maven to join in that discussion, really. I mean, I'll pontificate a little more about baseball and basketball than I ever will about football in that regard with the technicalities. So I'll leave that to them. I'd seen a guy that you can my standard with a quarterback in the NFL is could he take a team with all the right components and get you to the Super Bowl? Can he get there? Is he good enough? Right. And the answer is he's still good enough to be in that category, in my opinion. He's got enough left in the tank. He's good enough with the right, but this team doesn't have those components. But he would not be the reason. I mean, he could be one of those mediocre quarterbacks that got you to the Super Bowl. He's good enough to do that. Yeah. So they have to make a decision. One of the things, the names that keeps getting thrown out there is Jimmy Garoppolo, because we know that Belichick did not want to get rid of him, believes in him, and if he has a chance to make some kind of a move to get him, a lot of people think that would be the way that Belichick would prefer to go.
Bob Ryan with us from Boston. A couple other questions. I'll let you go, and I appreciate your time and insight. N'Keal Harry, from a distance, hasn't been the best first-round pick. Sun Devil out here at ASU. N'Keal Harry, what can you say?
Last year, we chalked it up to injury. He wasn't available for the most part. The injury's been the problem. He gets on the field, and what's he do Sunday? He commits two penalties, which hurt, one stopped the drive. He's shown very little. I mean, you know, he's what you want, a big, rangy. Yep. They did a tall possession receiver that could do that. But no, he's been I won't use the B word out of respect for your audience, but he's on the threshold of we're going to be using the B word. And you know what that word is, four letters, an N's and T.
Yeah. Wow.
He's close to that. I'll say this. So far, a disappointment.
That's being nice.
That's being mild.
Yeah, it's being nice. How's Belichick handled this, do you think?
He's starting to we're seeing a little crack in the armor, a little more humanity. He did something the two words you have to be careful in your judicious use always, of course, are always and never. And never before did he make excuses the way he made excuses a few weeks ago about the salary cap. We've always lauded him for his ability to maneuver around it and to keep the dynasty going in the salary cap era. Unlike Lombardi, never had to worry about it. Bill Walsh didn't have to worry about it. Chuck Knoll didn't have to worry about it. But Belichick has had to worry about it. And Parcells in the beginning didn't have to worry about it. But he's done it. Well, suddenly he's making excuses about why the roster isn't as stocked as he would have liked. That's very un-Belichick-like. So he's showing the strength. He doesn't like being pitied or being censured or either one, he doesn't like it. No, he's showing a little more humanity now. Absolutely. If you prick him, he will bleed. Yes.
But how patient are the fans on all this? Like you said earlier, it's been a great 20-year run, but are they voicing a side that you haven't seen before?
I hesitate to punt it, to generalize, except I think there's this indication that more people are resigned to the fate, that the reality, that the run is over, that they should be grateful for everything to happen, than I thought might be. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it's a majority yet. I wouldn't say that over 50, but I think more people are. I would throw a number at it. It's probably at least a 70-30 that are 30% are now, okay, we get it. Okay, we can live with this. It might be a little more. It's at least that many, I think. And I wouldn't have predicted that. I thought they would have gone down a little bit harder. But I'm happy to say that I think a lot of people are recognizing that it's over.
Last question, I'll get you out of here, and that is the Cardinals come out there with Kyler Murray. The Patriots really struggled, it looked like, in trying to control a quarterback that runs the last few weeks. What are you expecting on Sunday?
A potential disaster. He can do everything that Watson did in terms of the elusive nature of it, extend plays. Watson had zero sacks and was hit twice in an entire ball game. Touched twice. He could have played in a tuxedo. He didn't have to shower after this game, which, in COVID-19, it's sort of like, go back to the hotel. It's probably a good idea. The fact of the matter is, this is scary because they have zero pass rush. They tackled poorly. Maybe they'll tackle better, but he's going to pose an enormous problem for them. I can see him having a very big day.
Appreciate your time and insight, Bob, as always. Thanks. Stay safe.
Okay.
Is Bob Ryan with us from Boston, and we're back with more after this timeout. As promised, Friday is going to be fun because, yeah, there's going to be people out shopping and all the chaos, but I think there's going to be chaos on the golf course at Stone Canyon on TNT, the match Champions for Change. And Gary McCord is very pleased to see Gary is going to be the on-course. I don't know if he's going to be the instigator, the stirrer-upper. I'm not sure, but I know that Charles Barkley and Peyton Manning and Steph Curry and Phil Mickelson are all going to be out there, and Gary's going to be part of the broadcast. Along Gary, of course, from Scottsdale. He's been on the show frequently on during the golf years on the event. It's good to see you. How are you?
Good to see you. Everything is well. Watch yourself. You good?
I am. I am good, and I am safe. I know that if I were down at this event in normal times, I would be at this event. I would love to go see this. How did this come about for you?
I have no idea. Literally no idea. I got a call from Amanda Baleonis, and she said, Gary, she says, TNT's trying to get a hold of you, and they're asking me for your number. Should I give it? I said, yeah, I don't know what they're, you know, what they want. So, yeah, and they asked me if I want to do this match, which is local for me, a couple hours away to Tucson, Oral Valley. So, yeah, we're going to go have some fun. It you know, I'm along to kind of fan the flames, if you will. I don't think I'm going to be needed much because these guys are they can talk nasty. They can get going back and forth, and it should be entertaining, especially trying to find Charles Ball in the Sonoran Desert, which should be fantastically fun.
How often have you played with him? How many rounds have you played with Charles?
I've probably played 3 rounds with Charles recently. Yeah. Recently, maybe a couple of months ago. You know, he's for a better want of a term, which is the term, he's got the yips with the driver. Yeah. And you just don't know when, you know, the triple Wallenda is going to hit. You just never know when the flips and the stops and everything occur, and he can't control it. He just can't control it. So it'll be fun. When he goes and plays, the club goes up and down and without hesitation. It's pretty good. You know, it's not the best golf, but it's viable. You can do it. But once he starts, and he starts down, and it stops, and he tries to get it going again, then the fun starts. So I hopefully, and Chuck is such a good guy. I don't know why he subjected himself to this. I have no idea. Last year, match 2, he was up in the tower throwing barbs down at the guys. Fun. Now all of a sudden, for some reason, he wants to get out of the tower, go down, and put himself in front of Phil's already heckling him, and Phil's his partner.
Right.
So it's gonna be brutal. It's gonna be kind of golf. How we all play is trying to tear our opponent up verbally and taking all of his money. That's kind of it.
I saw him at Quintero. He's coming off the course with Mario Lemieux and Jeremy Roenick and fourth, and he had like 5 cigars and he was happy. And I just said, "How do you play?" He said, "I just play." So. I guess, Gary, I'm wondering, this course for Charles, I know breaking down what a course is like for a player is not really the way to go with Charles, but I just have to wonder, does this course favor him in any way, shape, or form?
No, there's desert. That's it. There's desert out there. I was supposed to play with him today, but he upgraded, and he's going to go play a practice round with Phil tomorrow. Mainly because I think Phil's picking him up in the airplane and they're flying in there. Okay. Otherwise, we would have had to drive in there. So what Phil's going to try to do, and again, there's going to be Phil's tees. There's going to be Peyton and Stephen Curry's tees. And then there's going to be the Chuckster's tees. And I don't know how far up they're going to put Chuck's tees. So Phil's going to go out there and figure out the best way Chuck can hit it along the ground. Because once he gets it, starts getting in the air, we're going to have all sorts of problem with incoming into the succulents. So he's going to try. They'll try to figure out something. It should be one of the great coaching jobs, at least attempted of all time. Phil trying to get Charles on green grass for the entire 18 holes, which in my opinion is impossible. But Phil's going to try to do it. So the coaching hat, the Belichick hat, will be on.
Gary McCord with us. Friday, it's on TNT, Stone Canyon Golf Club in Oral Valley here in Tucson, the match Champions for Change. What's Steph Curry's game like? We've seen up in Tahoe that looks pretty darn good. We saw Peyton Manning last year looks pretty darn good. I mean, this is a situation where there's a couple of guys that are going to get it done. And then you have Phil just kind of ragging on Charles. I guess in your space, do you give tips? Do you give advice? You just simply don't know. They say, Gary, go. And then you just go. You can't script this out.
No, you can't script it out. And obviously, you've got four superstars here. And the announcers are just along for the ride. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to probably agitate Phil as much as possible about how you're going to hit this shot out of a prickly pear cactus, how you're going to do it. You play it back and you're whatever, and just try to get that conversation. But just as much as you can lay out and just watch, because these guys are all mic and they're going to be going back and forth. The guy that chatters the most is going to win. So they're going to all literally, they'll all be against Charles. Okay. Even Phil, who is his partner, after a while, is going to get to the point I give. And they're going to go about their business. So it will be highly entertaining. Seth Curry has played on the Korn Ferry Tour,
right?
A couple events, and got close to the cut, but his action looks really good. I've done a deal with his dad before, Del Curry, 100 years ago down in Florida with a bunch of the golf coaches, and good player, pretty good player, and and we're going to try to, see what these guys do. Peyton's a very good player. Peyton's probably a running six or seven. Can get his ball out there, knows what he's doing with it. He's not going to choke. They all got way too much money, so they're not going to choke. And they should be pretty good. This is a modified alternate shot. So you hit your drives, and you pick the best one and go from there. So Phil's head's going to explode after a while, trying to figure out how he's going to have what shot into the green if Charles can get it going forward. Okay, and that's going to be the whole deal. The other two guys, they should be pretty good about getting their ball around the golf course. And again, I haven't played it. I heard it's gorgeous. Yeah. But I heard there's a lot of flora and fauna on both sides.
Yeah, it's Phil's course too, so he can't screw up. You know, this should be Phil-proof, right?
He won't, but Charles probably will.
Yeah. Before I get you out of here, what have you made out of golf here in 2020? It's just odd. It's crazy. Like everything, the ratings for the Masters were way off because they're going head to head with the NFL, but the tour this year and just what you've seen.
Well, not so much the tour, because I don't know if you can standardize what's going on in this particular time in our lives of standardization and trying to figure out numbers and so forth. But the one thing that you do know is when you go to a golf course, it is busy.
Yes.
It is busy 24/7. The only number I'll give you, as I read about a month ago, the number of rounds is up over 23% for the year. 23% is huge. Places I go to play, solidly packed every time. So again, in this COVID era, it is, we're outdoors, we're not indoors. That's great. Social distance, because most of these guys are hitting places they can't find the ball either, so they're wandering around the desert. So it's a very clean landscape to go out and actually get out of this situation we're in, where we have to kind of be reclusive. Well, golf is the opposite, so it renders itself very well to what's going on now. These circumstances, which are very bizarre, and it's growing. It's really growing. So interesting.
I think, Governor Ducey has taken a lot of hits on a lot of fronts, but when he did not close golf courses, and that's where I had to go to keep my sanity. And I took friends, colleagues that were really feeling the stress, Gary, back in March, April, May, June. The governor could have closed it. And I'm talking to golf course operators, and they said, our business is filled with people from California coming over here just to get around it because the courses were closed there. So, the tourism side of it, Jerry Colangelo taught me this very early on. He said, Brad, you have to look at all the sports as it's a tourism destination deal. And for golf, the price of rounds is up dramatically too. And every course is packed. You can't just show up on a day and get in. I mean, you could, but I can't. It's one of those deals.
Yeah, again, we're in interesting times. The tour is doing great. And I believe the tour, maybe it was the first or the second sport that got out there and said, okay, we're going to go. We can do it without being in a bubble. I mean, you can control it like the NBA did, where they all go to a certain localized place and they're all in the bubble. They don't venture out. But we got, you've got caddies flying. You got players flying. hotel rooms, Hertz rent-a-car places, all this stuff that you got hands on, and it become, you know, become a wasteland of COVID. So they've done a heck of a job orchestrating this entire year of getting these tournaments done and getting the players and keeping the players as safe as possible. It's extraordinary what the PGA Tour has done.
Have fun with it. I was very, very happy to see your name associated with this event, and to see you back on the TV screen will be terrific. Gary, thanks.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it.
There's Gary McCord with us. Again, it's on TNT this Friday, Stone Canyon Golf Club in Oro Valley, the Match Champions for Change with Steph Curry, Peyton Manning, Charles Barkley, Phil Mickelson, and Gary McCord. And we're back after this timeout.
Hey everyone, I'm Sandy Charles, and I'm joined by Sports Illustrated's senior fantasy analyst, Michael Fabiano. Michael, a lot to get to today for fantasy news, but first, with J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram on the COVID reserve, how are you handling the Ravens running game?
Well, Dobbins would have been like the top ad in fantasy this week at running back. Now it's probably going to be Gus Edwards. Gus had a good game against Pittsburgh earlier on in the season, had 18.5 fantasy points, 17 touches. So, like, I know Pittsburgh's defense is good against the run, but there have been situations where running backs have had good games against them. So, Edwards is going to be in the RB2 conversation for sure this week. Dobbins should still be added because he's the best back in Baltimore, but unfortunately, we're going to have to wait here another week and a half or so before we can find out if he's going to remain a featured back, which he was for 1 week, which was last week.
I read on Twitter, the Gus bus. Are you on the Gus bus?
Yeah. Anybody who's getting touches, and he's got no competition right now because the other two guys are not going to play. So absolutely. I mean, even if he gives you 50 and a touchdown, I mean, you'll still take that from your RB2 flex. He is going to be ranked among my top 20 to 25 running backs for the week.
Let's get to some controversial news. Saints quarterback / tight end Taysom Hill.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. No more tight end eligibility. What does this mean? And then does he have any quarterback fantasy value at all?
He does. He was okay. Good last week. I mean, he scored over 24 points. He rushed for 2 touchdowns. And rushing quarterbacks, it doesn't matter if they can't throw the ball. Tim Tebow, remember him? They're going to have value. Remember Terrell Pryor, who played wide receiver for a lot of his time in the NFL, but he played quarterback for the Raiders for part of a season, and he had a couple of really good games, not because he was a great quarterback, but he could run with the football. So, yeah, Taysom Hill needs to be added across the board. He was about 82% owned on ESPN because of the tight end eligibility. Yahoo, he was about 42% owned, so that number needs to rise. In terms of the tight end eligibility, ESPN just messed up. And they won't admit it, but they messed up. I'm all for position eligibility when it comes to being flexible, right? Yeah. But you don't take a player's eligibility away, especially after he had that eligibility based on whatever requirements you used for 11 weeks. Mm-hmm. So is it fair? Like, I can see both sides of the story, but they shouldn't have listed him as a tight end to begin with. He was always a quarterback on the Saints' official depth chart. And unless ESPN thinks that they know more than the teams, I mean, the teams are the ones who employ these guys and put them at positions on their depth charts for a reason. So you got to use Taysom Hill as a tight end for 1 week. It's not going to happen again, unfortunately. It's not fair. And I feel like a lot of people will probably leave that platform after this year. But he is absolutely worth adding. I can make an argument, and this is so 2020, that a guy who is tight end eligible on ESPN is a better start than Lamar Jackson at quarterback this week.
Wow. Those are some big words.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true at this point.
Well, it's another quarterback, Dolphins quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa. He was benched mid-game last week. Should Tua owners be worried about his fantasy?
Well, it wasn't good. Denver's defense played really well, but typically they hadn't done all that well against quarterbacks. But Tua's back. He's got the Jets this week. And if you want to play a team where you can get right, it's the Jets. They stink. Yeah. They haven't won a game all season. They're not going to win a game all season, very likely. So I'd still play him in a 2QB league. But remember, there's no teams on a bye this week. Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of options. So Tua is not a starting quarterback in traditional redrafts. But in 2QB and Superflex leagues, I'd absolutely play him.
Now, injury. Joe Burrow out for the season with his injury. Is there anything salvageable with Bengals fantasy value-wise?
Well, I mean, somebody's got to catch passes, right? He's going to throw the ball, Ryan Finley. He's bad. I'm sorry. I'm sure he's a wonderful human being. He's a bad quarterback. He's like a QB3. He's the guy that should be the weekly inactive emergency quarterback on most rosters. But now he's going to be put into a prominent role. And it stinks because Burrow's he's got a bright future. I mean, yeah. God bless him. I hope he comes back better than before. But I'm probably playing Tyler Boyd, but I'm not as confident. I don't think I could play T. Higgins. I don't know if I could play A.J. Green at all. He may be waiver wire fodder even after scoring a touchdown last week. I could play Gio Bernard because he's a featured back, and you would think that when Finley gets pressured, he'll be checking down to his running backs, and Gio's a good pass catcher. But do I have any confidence in any Bengals rest of season? Nope, don't. I just don't. Ryan Finley looked like garbage last year when he played. He came in and replaced Burrow last week. I think he was 3 of 10 with a pick. It's not good.
As always, I'm joined by Sports Illustrated senior fantasy analyst, Michael Fabiano. Michael, with Sonny Michelle return, how does this affect Damian Harris and the rest of the Patriots running game?
We were surprised Michelle wasn't active this past week. And Harris had a pretty good game. He got in the end zone. He didn't have a lot of yards. Yeah. Here's where I worry about it, though. You lose Rex Burkhead, okay? Mm-hmm. This week, you've got the Cardinals, right? Their offense is awesome, okay? You're not going to be able to keep up with the Cardinals offense by running the football. You're not. It's not going to happen. So Harris, you know, who's not averaging a ton of touches every week, he doesn't do anything in the passing game. If he averages, you know, 14 to 16 carries per game, and Sony Michel suddenly is active this week and takes away three or four of them, that's huge, right? That's huge. And then is Harris going to be the goal line back? I don't know. Could be Sony Michel, assuming he's active. I think James White might be the best fantasy running back for New England this week based on the matchup.
And lastly, let's go to the Raiders wide receiver. Who's your Raiders wide receiver? Wow. Say that 5 times fast. Who are you going with for the rest of this season?
Nelson Aguilar has been really good. Like, I know it's Nelson Aguilar and people are like, ugh, you know,
yeah.
This guy has been scoring touchdowns like crazy. I think he has 6 on the season, and Derek Carr trusts him. And I know, you know, they drafted Henry Ruggs. They drafted Bryan Edwards. Hunter Renfro's in the mix. Doesn't matter. Derek Carr trusts Nelson Aguilar. And they've got Atlanta this week. Atlanta's defense stinks. All right? So I'd play Aguilar as a wide receiver 3 or flex this week. And I wouldn't trust any other Raiders wide receivers, at least not right now.
Let's get to waiver wire. Waiver wire needs. We've touched on quarterback a little bit. Let's break it down a little more. Who are the needs for quarterback?
I mentioned Atlanta's playing Las Vegas this week, so Derek Carr is a good play. Now, remember, no buys this week. So this is really for, like, desperate people, 2 QB league teams, because you're going to start who you're going to start. There's so many stud quarterbacks at this point. Phillip Rivers, you can add. I don't love the matchup this week. Kirk Cousins, you can add. I don't love the matchup this week. Tua, you can add, and the matchup's good. Daniel Jones has given you 20-plus points in 2 of his last 4 games. He's got the Bengals. That's a good matchup, 2 QB option. And then Alex Smith against my Cowboys, who actually won a game last week and didn't look bad, actually. Thanksgiving Day, Alex Smith, 2 QB super flex option.
Okay, running back, waiver wire needs at running back.
Right, we talked about Gus the Bus, so pick him up. Wayne Gallman is coming off a bye. He had a touchdown in 4 straight games before the bye. He's got the Bengals this week, so he should be added, and he could be started this week. James White got dropped in a ton of leagues because he hadn't done anything. Rex Burkhead's now out. White played 39 snaps last week, had 11 touches, and now he's got Arizona, so I could flex him this week. Savon Ahmed continues to be the lead back for the Dolphins until Miles Gaskin comes back. Now, if Gaskin comes back this week, then, you know, Ahmed doesn't have any value. I love saying Ahmed. But that's something that we're not sure of at this point. So he's worth an add. Frank Gore, LaMichael Perine's out now. He's got that high ankle sprain. And Adam Gase loves Frank Gore. Frank Gore could be 50 years old, and Adam Gase, if he was the coach, would start him. Adam Gase is whatever. But we're looking for warm bodies at this point, right? I mean, so Frank Gore is worth an add. And again, I tell folks this all the time. The playoffs are coming. If you're headed towards a playoff berth, handcuff your top backs. Chris Carson should be back this week. Make sure Carlos Hyde's not out there. If you've got Todd Gurley, pick up Brian Hill. If you've got Josh Jacobs, pick up Devontae Booker. Be smart.
Okay, wide receiver. Who do they need?
Michael Pittman Jr. has had two good games in a row. He didn't have a lot of targets this past week, but he still scored a touchdown. He's got the Titans this week. The last time he played the Titans, he had over 19 points. Cole Beasley, remember him? Coming off a bye week, the game before against Arizona, he went bananas. He had almost 21 points. John Brown's banged up. They've got the Chargers this week, so Beasley could be worth a look. We talked about Nelson Aguilar. Jalen Reagor in some leagues could be worth a flyer, or maybe in DFS you could play him against Seattle. Their defense has not been good against wide receivers. Alan Lazard was not good last week, but it's nice to have a wide receiver catching passes from Aaron Rodgers. So Lazard's worth a look. Rashad Perriman even. I mean, I know it's the Jets, but he's had a couple of good games in a row, and the Jets are always throwing in the second half because they stink, and they're trying to eliminate deficits, which they ultimately haven't done because they haven't won a game.
They do. They abandoned the run, which I understandably, they abandoned the run very early on. Last, any other waiver wire needs?
Yeah, so Dalton Schultz, who I talked about last week, even though the Cowboys were on a bye, pick him up. And, I mean, he's getting targeted a ton. He had a touchdown against Minnesota, 21 targets in his last three games. He's got the football team on Thanksgiving. Like, he's a startable asset. Jordan Reed's coming off a bye. No George Kittle. Bad matchup, but if you're desperate. The Eagles situation is one to sort of keep tabs on. Now, they play on Monday night, which is the problem. Zach Ertz could be back this week. But if he's not, Richard Rodgers has been getting involved in the offense. So that's a tough situation. Will Disley is back on the radar, too, because Greg Olsen's out for the rest of the year. So Will Disley, as my friend Bob Harris would call him, the dismissal, loves him. He's worth a look. And then if you're in a deeper league, Jordan Akins against Detroit. And then I would be remiss if I didn't mention my guy Tyler Bass in Buffalo. Yes, he's a kicker, but I don't care. Kickers are people, too. Last game. Made field goals of 54, 55, 58 yards, 18 points, 14-plus points, and three of his last four games. Chargers this week. Could be a high-scoring game. Folks, points are points, man. Mm-hmm. Tyler Bass has been really good.
Any last remarks before we go for fantasy owners?
Yes, happy Thanksgiving to everybody, right? I mean, like, yo, we've got three big games. Make sure you set your lineups because on the West Coast, which is kind of cool, you've got a game that starts at like 9:30 in the morning. So make sure you set those lineups maybe Wednesday night or first thing Thursday morning. There's a lot of potential inactives in that Detroit game too. Kenny Galladay's been banged up. Danny Amendola's been banged up. DeAndre Swift's been banged up. Randall Cobb's hurt for Houston. So make sure you're keeping tabs on the inactives there. And of course, go to si.com/fantasy for all your fantasy football needs. And Startem and Sit'em will be up early Wednesday morning, and then my rankings will also be up later Wednesday evening or overnight on Wednesday. So make sure you check that out. And don't start Taysom Hill at tight end. They won't let you.
As always, Michael Fabiano, happy Thanksgiving, and happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there.